Tibetan Buddhism is a religion with a rich culture that emerged from a wide range of practices, which include the complete scope of the Buddhist teachings from the Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana levels. Different groups belonging to Tibetan Buddhism include the Nyingmapa, founded by Padmasambhava, Kagyupa, founded by Tilopa, Sakyapa, founded by Gongchok Gyalpo, and his son Ganga Nyingpo, and Gelugpa, founded by Tsongkhapa Lobsang Drakpa. The teachings of Tibetan Buddhism puts a focus on the awareness of death and the ephemeral nature of life, leading to diligence in meditation and spiritual practice. Mandalas, prayer flags, and Tanga paintings are visual imagery used as reminders for practitioners on the path. One of the renowned masters of this religion is Milarepa, magician, yogi, poet, hermit. Many names have been attributed to this most famous figure of Tibet's history. This Himalayan saint lived from 1052 to 1135, and his story of personal redemption has continued to be an inspiration to many generations. Through songs called Dohas, Milarepa imparted divine teachings on spiritual devotion and wisdom. Today we present to you an excerpt from the holy text of Tibetan Buddhism with the compilation titled 60 Songs of Milarepa, with songs 7 to 8, 25 to 29, and 31 to 32.
Milarepa once said to Shindormo, his patroness, "But if you have a precious human body and have been born at a time and place in which the Buddhist religion prevails, it is very foolish indeed not to practice the Dharma." Milarepa thus sang,
"At the feet of the translator Marpa, I prostrate myself and sing to you, my faithful patrons. How stupid it is to sin with recklessness while the pure Dharma spreads all about you. How foolish to spend your lifetime without meaning, when a precious human body is so rare a gift.
How ridiculous to cling to prison-like cities and remain there. How laughable to fight and quarrel with your wives and relatives who do but visit you. How senseless to cherish sweet and tender words which are but empty echoes in a dream. How silly to disregard one's life by fighting foes who are but frail flowers.
How foolish it is when dying to torment oneself with thoughts of family, which bind one to Maya's mansion. How stupid to stint on property and money, which are a debt on loan from others. How ridiculous it is to beautify and deck the body, which is a vessel full of filth. How silly to strain each nerve for wealth and goods, and neglect the nectar of the inner teachings. In a crowd of fools, the clear and sensible should practice the Dharma, as do I."
A yogi who had great faith in Milarepa came with other patrons, bringing copious offerings, and they asked Milarepa how he had managed to undergo the trials of his probationship and had exerted himself. Milarepa answered with the 6 resolutions.
When one has lost interest in this world, his faith and longing for the Dharma is confirmed. To relinquish one's home ties is very hard. Only by leaving one's native land can one be immune from anger. It is hard to conquer burning passions towards relatives and close friends. The best way to quench them is to break all associations. One never feels that one is rich enough. Contented, he should wear humble cotton clothes. He may thus conquer much desire and craving.
It is hard to avoid worldly attractions. By adhering to humbleness, longing for vain glory is subdued. It is hard to conquer pride and egotism, so like the animals, live in the mountains.
My dear and faithful patrons, such is the real understanding that stems from perseverance. I wish you all to practice deeds that are meaningful and amass all merits.
Milarepa said to his faithful patroness Shindormo, "My dear patroness, except for advanced Dharma practitioners, the pains of birth, decay, illness and death descend upon everyone. It is good to think about and fear them, because this enables one to practice the Dharma when death is approaching." Whereupon he sang,
"In the river of birth, decay, illness and death, we worldly beings are submerged. Who can escape these pains on earth? We drift on with the tide. Amidst waves of misery and darkness, we flow on and on. Seldom in samsara can one find joy. More miseries come by trying to avoid them. Through pursuing pleasures, one's sins increase. To be free from pain, wrong deeds should be shunned. When death draws near, the wise always practice Dharma."
"I do not know how to observe the suffering of birth," said Shindormo. "Please instruct me how to meditate upon it." In answer, the Jetson revered sang,
"My faithful patroness, I will explain the suffering of birth. The wanderer in the Bardo plane is the Alaya consciousness. Driven by lust and hatred, it enters a mother's womb. Therein it feels like a fish in a rock's crevice caught. Sleeping in blood and yellow fluid, it is pillowed in discharges. Crammed in filth, it suffers pain. A bad body from a bad karma is born. Though remembering past lives, it cannot say a single word. Now scorched by heat, now frozen by the cold, in 9 months it emerges from the womb in pain excruciating, as if pulled out, gripped by pliers.
When from the womb its head is squeezed, the pain is like being thrown into a bramble pit. The tiny body on the mother's lap feels like a sparrow grappled by a hawk. When from the baby's tender body, the blood and filth are being cleansed, the pain is like being flayed alive. When the umbilical cord is cut, it feels as though the spine was severed. When wrapped in the cradle, it feels bound by chains, imprisoned in a dungeon.
He who realizes not the truth of no arising never can escape from the dread pangs of birth. There is no time to postpone devotion. When one dies, one's greatest need is the divine Dharma. You should then exert yourself to practice Buddha's teaching."
Shindormo asked again, "Please preach for us the sufferings of old age." In response, the Jetson revered sang,
"Listen, my good patrons, listen to the sufferings of old age. Painful it is to see one's body becoming frail and quite worn out. Who can help but feel dismayed at the threat of growing old? When old age descends upon one, one's straight body becomes bent. When one tries to step firmly, one staggers against one's will.
One's black hairs turn white. One's clear eyes grow dim. One's head shakes with dizziness, and one's keen ears turn deaf.
One's ruddy cheeks grow pale, and one's blood dries up. One's nose, the pillar of one's face, sinks in. One's teeth, the essence of one's bones, protrude. Losing control of tongue, one stammers.
On the approach of death, one's anguish and debts grow. One gathers food and friends, but one cannot keep them. trying not to suffer, one only suffers more. When one tells the truth to people, seldom is one believed.
The sons and nephews one has raised and cherished often become one's foes. One gives away one's savings but wins no gratitude. Unless you realize the truth of non-decay, you will suffer misery in old age. He who, when old, neglects the Dharma, should know that he is bound by karma. It is good to practice the divine Dharma while you can still breathe.
Shindormo then said, "What you have just told us is very true. I have experienced these things myself. Now please preach for us the sufferings of sickness." In reply, Milarepa sang,
"Dear patrons, you who know grief and sorrow, listen to the miseries of sickness. This frail body is subject ere to sickness, so that one suffers excruciating pain. The illness of prana, mind, gall and phlegm constantly invade this frail human body, causing its blood and matter to be heated. The organs are thus gripped by pain. In a safe and easy bed, the sick man feels no comfort, but turns and tosses, groaning in lament. Through the karma of past meanness, though with best of food you feed him, he vomits all that he can take.
When you lay him in the cool, he still feels hot and burning. When you wrap him in warm cloth, he feels cold as though soaked in sleet. Though friends and kinsmen gather round, none can relieve or share his pains. Though warlocks and physicians are proficient, they cannot help cases caused by ripening karma.
He who has not realized the truth of no illness, much suffering must undergo. Since we know not when sickness will strike, it is wise to practice holy Dharma, the sure conqueror of illness."
"I hope to practice more Dharma when death draws near," said Shindormo. "Now please preach for me the suffering of death." In answer, Milarepa sang,
"Listen, my disheartened patroness, like the pain of repaying compound debts, one must undergo the suffering of death. Yama's guards catch and carry one when the time of death arrives. The rich man cannot buy it off with money. With his sword the hero cannot conquer it, nor can the clever woman outwit it by a trick. Even the learned scholar cannot postpone it with his eloquence. Here the unlucky cannot make appeal, nor can a brave man here display his valor. When all the nadis converge in the body, one is crushed as if between two mountains. All vision and sensation become dim. When bond priests and diviners become useless, the trusted physician yields to his despair. None can communicate with the dying man. Protecting guards and devas vanish into naught. Though the breath has not completely stopped, one can all but smell the stale odor of dead flesh. Like a lump of coal in chilly ashes, one approaches to the brink of death."
"When dying, some still count the dates and stars. Others cry and shout and groan. Some think of worldly goods. Some that their hard-earned wealth will be enjoyed by others. However deep one's love or great one's sympathy, he can but depart and journey on alone. His good friend and consort can only leave him there.
In a bundle his beloved body will be folded and carried off, then thrown in water, burned in fire, or simply cast off in a desolate land. Faithful patrons, what in the end can we retain? Must we sit idly by and let all things go? When your breath stops tomorrow, no wealth on earth can help you. Why then should one be mean? Kind kinsmen circle round the bed of the dying, but none can help him for a moment. Knowing that all must be left behind, one realizes that all great love and attachment must be futile. When that final moment comes, only holy Dharma helps. You should strive, dear patroness, for a readiness to die. Be certain and ready, and when the time comes, you will have no fear and no regret."
At first, when a man greets his relatives, he is happy and joyful. With enthusiasm, he serves, entertains, and talks to them. They may reciprocate. In the end, they cause anger, craving, and bitterness. They are a fountain of regret and unhappiness. With this in mind, I renounce pleasant and sociable friends. For kinsmen and neighbors, I have no appetite.
Wealth, at first, leads to self-enjoyment, making other people envious. However much one has, one never feels it is enough, until one is bound by the miser's demon. Hard it is then to spend it on virtuous deeds. Wealth provokes enemies and stirs up ghosts. One works hard to gather riches which others will spend. In the end, one struggles for life and death. To amass wealth and money invites enemies. So I renounce the delusions of samsara. To become the victim of deceitful devils, I have no appetite. We thank you for your presence today for Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants. Up next, right after noteworthy news, here on Supreme Master Television. May your days be graced with love, blessings, and bliss from heaven.